We're continuing in our When God Doesn't Make Sense series this morning, and there's a word that we've learned in our house over the last 2.5 years, and that word is, it's mine. It's mine. For those of you who have got toddlers, you understand this word, where it comes from. That they have something in their hand and you want to get it from them. No, it's mine. It's mine. And so my little son has taught us in our house, it's a common phrase now, it's mine. It's mine. And as much as you try to teach them and correct them not to say it, even beat them at times, no, not really, they still say, it's mine. It's mine. Well, I want to introduce you to something this morning that is mine. And you can't get it and nobody else get it. And it's my backpack. I got a backpack on this morning. It's mine. And if you try to get it, I will go, no, like a little toddler. It's mine. You want to see what's in my backpack this morning? I got some things in my backpack. Doesn't look like I've got much, but everything I treasure in life is in this little backpack. The first thing that I see in my backpack is this. My happiness. My happiness. No matter how much you try to take my happiness from me, you can't, because it's mine. It's mine, and I don't want anybody taking my happiness. The next thing in my backpack is this. It's my health. No matter how much anyone tries to take my health, it's mine this morning. I don't want anybody taking my health. I treasure my health. I get up early in the morning to work out so I don't have to take blood pressure medicine, because I treasure my health. Nobody can take my health from me. What else is in my backpack here this morning? Oh, this one. I treasure this one a lot. I work a lot of hours for this one. My finances. No matter how much anyone tries to take them from me, they are mine. No matter how much intriguing those Black Friday sales are, or tomorrow those Cyber Monday sales, my finances are mine. I work hard for them. Nobody's going to take my finances from me. They are mine. What else do we have in my backpack? Oh, now we get a little bit more spiritual on this one. My church. I don't want anyone taking my church from me. I treasure my church. And what I mean by my church, Generation Church. I treasure you guys. No one's taking my church from me. My church. We work hard to keep our relationships and do things with our church. What else is in my backpack this morning? My 401k. I don't know about you, I've heard that new tax plan that they want to come out with. I don't like it, because it means that I can't defer as much money tax-free as I would like. But still, we work hard for our 401k. Unlike some of you, I've still got a long, long way to go of building this up. Some of you, I'm sorry to say, your 401k, you don't have much time left to fill it up, but you treasure that. Nobody can take your 401k from you. No employer, no person, no stock market crash. You treasure your 401k. That is your future right there. What else is in my backpack? My son. My son. No matter how much he says, it's mine, I still love that little kid. Had to be careful what I said then. We're in church. But my son, I treasure him. He's the joy of our life. Sometimes he gets going crazy, but we love him. We protect him. This last week we were in New York City, and my eyes were on him all the time, because he loves to just run around and thinks he's Spider-Man and thinks he can take on the world. But I love that little crazy kid. No one can take my son from me. And then my last thing in my backpack this morning is my marriage. My marriage. I've worked 12 years on this thing. Still haven't figured it out yet. But each day we work, and nobody can take my marriage. No matter what anyone may come in this world and try to take from us and get in between us, my marriage, I value my marriage. So that is all what's in my backpack this morning, and this is mine. I've worked hard throughout this life to get this, and nobody can take this from me. And I'm going to ask you this morning, what will you say is yours? What's in your backpack? What's in your backpack? What are the things that you say, it's mine, and you treasure, and you've worked hard for, and you've poured your time and your energy into? Maybe you've shed some tears. Maybe you've worked over a long period of time to get it, but you've worked hard, and now it's in your backpack. And you can say, it's mine, and nobody else can get it. These are the things that if they were stripped from you, they would leave you heartbroken. They would leave you emotionally spent. You didn't know what to do if these things were taken from you. So what would you do if God suddenly turned around and asked for your backpack? What would you do if God turned around and said, you know what? Give me the things that are in your backpack. Give me your 401k. Give me your happiness. Give me your health. Give me your marriage. Give me your son. Give me your finances. What would you say if God turned around and asked for what was in your backpack? You probably would say what I would say. No, it's mine. It's mine. Would you give it, or would the toddler come out in you? It's mine. It's mine. You may think, well, God would never ask for those things. God would never take those things from me. Well, I want to share with you this morning a story that's found in the book of Genesis where God did ask for somebody's backpack. It's found in Genesis chapter 22. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it this morning. Genesis chapter 22. It's going to be on the screens if you don't have your Bibles. But we're going to start reading at verse 1. And this is what it said. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. This event here in Genesis chapter 22, it says this, sometime later. What we find in Genesis 22, that preceding that, there were 10 chapters all about Abraham's life. We get introduced to Abraham, we get introduced to his wife, and we get introduced to his business. And then God comes in and gives a promise to Abraham. And we see that Abraham has spent a lifetime filling his backpack with things that he would say, it's mine. And now Abraham is walking around with his backpack full of things that he has achieved in life. Abraham has shown us through these 10 chapters that he has become a man of faith, that he trusts in God and he believes in God and he trusts in God no matter what, so much so that God came and gave a promise to Abraham, and the promise was this, Abraham, you will be a blessed man and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. But there was one problem with this promise. Abraham could not have a child, for his wife Sarah was unable to give birth. Infertility was running through their family, and so they could not have children. So God had given this promise, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But the problem is, the promise didn't make sense because his wife suffers from infertility. But yet, he's a man of faith. And so as a man of faith, he trusts in God. And so year after year, he's trusting in God and trusting in God and trusting in God. And he's saying, God's going to come through. God has not given a promise that he is not going to come through on. If God's promises are true, then God will come through and we will have children so that our descendants can become as numerous as the stars in the sky. But as year went on, the promise still seemed so distant. To the point where Sarah went past childbearing years. Now the promise didn't make sense. So Sarah said to Abraham, I tell you, let's give God a hand. Why don't you take my young servant girl, Hagar, and get biblical with her? So they had relations. And following from the relations, then Hagar became pregnant. So now Abraham had a child and they called him Ishmael. But the problem was, is they were trying to pursue God's promises and push God in a direction that God was not willing to go. And Ishmael was not the promised son for Abraham. He would not be the son that the descendants of Abraham would become as numerous as the stars in the sky. But despite this small little blip in Abraham's life, God still stayed faithful to Abraham. And Abraham knew that Ishmael was not the promised child, but God, he still kept trusting in God and believing in God. And then one day, miraculously, when Abraham was 100 years old, he found out he was going to become a father. Let me tell you, I had a child in my mid to late 30s. It was exhausting. I could not imagine being a 100-year-old man and having a little toddler running around trying to be the Hulk or playing Spider-Man with him. It would have been crazy. Sarah was not much younger herself. And so now this old couple are now pregnant with a child. Suddenly, God's promises are being revealed. At the last minute, God's promises are coming through. And they give birth to a son. They call him Isaac. And Isaac becomes this promise, the start of the promise for Abraham. See, Abraham loved Isaac more than anything. He was his miracle. He was God's promise. And if any of you have received a miracle in your life, if you've ever received God's promises in your life, you know that you hold tight onto it. I remember the day we found out that we were pregnant with a child. After years of infertility ourselves, it was just like, this is God's blessing. This is God's promise on our lives. And if you've ever received the promise of God and God's promises have been fulfilled, you treasure that. You know what happens? It goes into your backpack. Because you carry that around for the rest of your life, that testimony that God came through, that God's promises are true. When he had spent years and decades weeping and mourning over, suddenly the promise is there and the backpack is a little fuller. So the Bible says sometime later. We're not talking days or months. We're talking years later. Isaac now is not a little baby in diapers. He's not a little toddler just running around. He's not even an elementary student just in front of the Xbox all day, every day. He's probably a teenager by now. He can talk, he can walk, he can carry wood up a mountain. He's older. That means Abraham has had time to develop an even greater bond with this boy. Their bond is great. Sometime later, the Bible says, God tested Abraham. Now, the writer of Genesis is very kind to us because it reveals to us that this, what we're going to read about, is a test. Is a test. Because when you read what's going to happen, you're going to think, how can a loving God ever do this to one of his servants, to someone who has been faithful to him? But remember, this is a test. Abraham did not know at the time that this was a test. So it says, sometime later, in verse 1, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. And then this is what God asks him. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac. Notice he didn't say one of your sons, because remember, he had Ishmael as well. God is saying, take your son, your only son, Isaac, because in God's eyes, Isaac was the son of the promise. Take your son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. What? God, what are you saying? You want me to take my son and you want me to kill my son? You want me to go and make my son as a sacrifice? What kind of God are you? What kind of loving, faithful God does this to someone who has been faithful all these years? You've given me your promise and now you want to take the promise away? God, this doesn't make sense. But remember, it was a test. But I'll be honest, it was an impossible test to pass. Because if God had asked me to do that, I would have been like, no way, Jose. No way. He's mine. God was asking for Abraham's backpack. And he wanted something specific. He didn't want Abraham's 401k. He didn't want Abraham's business. He didn't want Abraham's health. He didn't even want Abraham's marriage. He wanted the one thing that Abraham treasured and loved more than anything in this life. He wanted his son, Isaac. Why would God do such a thing? It seems so ungodlike. But remember, it's a test. The subject of the test was faith. It wasn't math, it wasn't English, it wasn't science. It was faith. And God was testing Abraham in two areas. Abraham, who did you love more? Your backpack or me? Your backpack or me? Abraham, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Do you trust that I am God and that I have a plan and my plan is perfect? Two areas here that Abraham was being tested. So let's take a look at what happened. Verse 3. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back to you. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? It's like, uh-oh, I've been caught out. Verse 8 says, Abraham said, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. This story sends shudders down me. I could not imagine a father going through this and actually going through to kill his son as a sacrifice. Now, you know, if you've got 20 million gazillion children, then you lose one. Well, maybe you lose one. If you're the Duggars, isn't the Duggars who has a ton, you know? You may lose your TLC show, but, you know, you still got a bunch of children. But this was his one and only son. This is the promise of God. If he goes, the promise dies. If he goes, then there's no other descendants. Remember, he is old as dirt. His wife is old. There's no way that they can bear another child again. How is this even possible? But yet Abraham goes through this. And as I read through this, I see two acts of faith that set Abraham apart from most. These are acts of faith that trigger even greater acts of faith. And this is the first thing that I see. Abraham got up early. That's it. Abraham got up early. The second thing that we see, Abraham believed in the promise. He got up early and he believed in the promise. There were the two acts of faith that Abraham did in this whole story that we see happening. And if we lived our life by this, if we get up early and we believe in the promise, then I believe that God will do amazing things in and through you. And instead of losing your backpack, God's going to fill your backpack even more. He's going to bless your backpack. You're going to get your backpack back, and you're going to live your life with a full backpack. So Abraham got up early. I call this no hesitation. No hesitation. Now, there are people who get up early and there are people who get up late. And this is what you always find. People who get up early think people who get up late are lazy, right? People who get up late think people who get up early just have no creativity at all, right? That's what they think. But this is not a story about the time that Abraham got up. I don't know if it was 4 a.m, 5 a.m. I don't know in the Middle East if they thought 9 a.m. was getting up early. I don't know. But it's not about the time he got up. It was about the time it took to respond to God's call. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a snoozer. I am a self-proclaimed snoozer. My alarm goes off. I do not hit the snooze button once. It's normally 2, 3, sometimes even 4 times. I'm hitting the snooze button. And I get up early in the morning, but sometimes my eyes cannot even open. Sometimes the covers are just so warm that you do not want to get out. And this is what I found. The problem with God is this. He rarely calls you when you are all dressed up and ready to go. Most often when God calls you, it's still dark. It's cold. And the bed covers seem so warm. And the Bible tells us that following the unthinkable request, that Abraham got up early and got ready. There was no snoozing. There was no, you know what, God, let me take a few days to pray about this thing. There was no, you know, I wonder if that was God or was that the devil? There was no hesitation. He knew the voice of God. He knew it was God. And God is looking for people who will respond right away. And Abraham was this man. So the Bible tells us that he got up early and he started to chop wood. And as he chopped wood, he got it all together. He got the fire ready. And then they started their journey to the land of Moriah, where there would be a mountain on which they would climb where the sacrifice would take place. And when God asks the unthinkable, you need to be an early riser, no hesitation. When you hear the voice of God, you need to make sure you respond quickly. Faith isn't just about believing. Faith is also about responding. See, you can believe in God, but you can never respond. You can go all your life and never respond to God. Faith is about believing and responding. So Abraham got up early. No hesitation. The second thing that we see in this story is this, is that Abraham still believed in the promise. The promise still stands. Stand close to God long enough and he will reveal his promises to you. Some of you say, well, I've never had a promise from God. I tell you, if you stand close enough to God for long enough in your life, you will start to hear the promises of God. And God's promises are rarely for today. They're mostly for tomorrow. They're mostly for a time to come. And that's the problem with God's promises. God promises something, but you don't get it right away. We have to wait and wait. And at this point in Abraham's life, he's gone through the long, drawn-out trauma of God promising descendants, but not having any children. He finally, after many years of struggle, saw God begin the process of the promise. But remember this, Isaac was not the promise. Isaac was the son of the promise. Isaac was the start of the promise. See, the promise was not that he would have a son and he would call him Isaac. The promise was this, the promise that you would have descendants that would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And God now is telling Abraham, take out Isaac. It seems counterproductive, right? The promise has just started. Now you want us to go back to square one. But I know what God is doing. And this is what God is doing. God is testing Abraham to see if he is still focused on the promise. Or has Abraham taken his eyes off the prize and focused on Isaac? See, it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do that. We can focus on this promise that God has for us, and then we get a glimpse of the promise, and then we hold on to it, and we say, it's mine, I've got it. But God wants so much more than us. God wanted so much more for Abraham than just Isaac. God wanted descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. See, I've seen it so many times. People stop praying when they get their answers to prayer. They're so on fire for God, and they're praying, and they're passionate about God, and they have others praying for them. But often, so often, so many people, when they get their answers to prayer, then suddenly that passion for God goes away. And this is what I've discovered in just, you know, my years of being in ministry, is that sometimes your blessings can be a curse. Because sometimes your blessings draw you away from God instead of draw you to God. And God wanted to know if Abraham could be trusted with his blessing. And I want to ask you today, can you be trusted with your blessing? Can you be trusted with your blessing? If God answered your prayers, would you be faithful to steward those answers to prayer well? And this is what God was doing with Abraham. Can you be trusted with Isaac? I love what Abraham said. He makes a statement to his servants. He says this. He says, you guys stay here. The boy and I will go and worship, and then we will return. And then he says this a little later. Isaac says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says this. God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, Isaac. This is what faith is all about. Faith is saying, I know what the promise of God is. I know God has given me this blessing in Isaac. God is not going to take it away. Even though God is asking me to kill my son, somehow God's going to make this thing right. See, faith says this, we will come back. Not I will come back, we will come back. Faith says God will provide. Faith says, this makes no sense. I'm going to pick up a knife and kill my son and kill the promise, but I'm still going to believe in God. That is what faith is all about. You may have felt that the promise of God in your life has died. You may have felt that it's over. You may have felt that God has moved on. But he has not. The promise still remains. Remember this. This is just a test. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is just a test. It's just a test. Remember, all along, it's just a test. God was testing Abraham. So let's see what happens as we continue reading. So we've got this like moment. We've gone to a commercial break. Abraham has got the knife. He's about to put it into his son. You know, commercials come on. You're like, oh. Now let's see what happens. Verse 11, at that moment, the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. I can imagine Abraham saying, finally, now you turn up. He says this, yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. I've always felt sorry for that little ram. I'm like, why did he get picked, right? Then verse 14 says, Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Remember what Abraham says? Don't worry. God will provide a lamb for us. And God did. And then he carries on. It says, on this mountain, it says, to this day, people still use the name of a use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. It was the final semester of the final year, and it was the final exam. Abraham sat down. He had spent 10 years preparing for this thing. And he came out and he aced the test. He aced the test. There was no hesitation. The promise of God remained at the forefront of his mind. And God that day graduated Abraham. That day, Abraham walked the line and he graduated the school of faith. God stopped the killing. He provided the lamb to take the place of Isaac. And then what I love, God reaffirms the promise to Abraham that he had given years before. Said, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Think of the emotions that Abraham must have gone through that day. But this is what I think. Think of the example of faith that Abraham gave to his son Isaac. Now, in this day and age, Isaac would have grown up and gone to therapy. And he would have been like, you never guess what my dad did when I was young. That's why I have a little twitch, you know. That's why I have, like, trust issues. But think of the example he gave to Isaac that day. He showed Isaac, God can be trusted no matter what. See, what was going to happen, the promise was going to get passed down to Isaac. Abraham was not going to see the fulfillment of the promise, but the promise still lived. The promise still remained. Isaac was going to have to now carry the promise. And now Isaac could see that God was to be trusted, that the promise was true. Could you imagine that, what Isaac was to thought when he heard the voice of the angel from heaven? Maybe this was as much for Isaac's sake as it was for Abraham's sake. Your act of faith or your statement of faith has a far greater impact than just your own personal journey of faith. It can reach the souls of others. It can change generations. Abraham walked down the mountain of Moriah that day with his backpack still intact. But now Abraham was no longer saying, you know what, God, this backpack is mine, it's mine, it's mine. Like Gollum from Lord of the Rings, my precious. He wasn't saying that anymore. Do you know what he was saying? You know what, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. As I think about this story, it's hard not to think about another story that happened thousands of years later, when there was a man called Jesus who hung on a cross. And with his last breath, he gave up his life. He was God's one and only son. But yet God didn't stop at the dagger. God went through with the whole thing. He gave Jesus as a sacrifice for your sins. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God has your best interests at heart. God gave up his backpack so he could save us. That's what Jesus did. So I ask you today, what's in your backpack? What would be unthinkable for you to lose? No matter where you are in life, don't say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, like a two-year-old. Instead, be like Abraham and say, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. This is what I know. God wants the best for you. All things are working together for your good, to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. God wants the best for you. But sometimes it means you have to take the backpack off your shoulder and say, Lord, it's yours. Galatians 2:20 tells us this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. That's why your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning. The lesson that we learn from this is this: God can be trusted. God can be trusted. He can be trusted with your children. He can be trusted with your marriage. He can be trusted with your finances. He can be trusted with your 401k. He can be trusted with your happiness. He can be trusted with your health. He can be trusted with whatever you would put in your backpack. Whatever you value most in this life, God can be trusted with it. But this is what God requires. If you want to live this life of faith, if you are serious about living this life of faith, then God requires that you be an early riser, that there is no hesitation when God calls. When God asks, you get up and you go. He also requires that you trust in him, for the promise still remains. And for some of you here this morning, God has given you a promise years ago and you are still yet to see that to fruition. You are still wondering, does God even still care about that promise? Was that even a promise from God? Or was it just something I made up in my life? The promise still remains today. For God will see through what God has promised. The Bible says that all of God's promises are yes and amen, meaning they will come to pass. And so be like Abraham today and say, God, it's yours. Even if it's my son, God, it's yours. For I trust in you. And so I'm going to pray today, and as I pray, if you going through an experience in your life right now where you are just trying to hold things too closely to yourself and you don't want to give them up and you're saying, it's mine, pray that your grip will be loosed a little as you offer it to God. If you're in this place today and you feel that the promises are dying of God, you feel that God is just not showing up, it just doesn't make sense what God is asking you to do, then open up your eyes. Like that song we sang earlier on, God, give me vision to see things like you do.